This whole Grizzlies basketball thing really isn't that hard, is it? You just get a great game from Mark and Mike, you go back to what you used to do, and you win a game on the road. Bing, bang, boom. It's Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for downloading the podcast and for listening. I have some good news for you. The Grizzlies won again. Huh? How about that, right? Crazy. Crazy how these things continue to happen. Grizzlies knock off the Bulls 98-91, and it's almost as if the last week and a half, 2 weeks prior to the Milwaukee game never happened. Whoosh. This looked like the Grizzlies of 2 years ago, 3 years ago, pretty much. I mean, those kinds of games. A few more threes, a little more spacing, a couple different lineups, but really big chunks of this game were indistinguishable from 2 years ago, which is both good and bad. It's certainly good in the short term. It's sort of bad in the sense that you're going to have to turn the page at some point. But for now, you know, let the good times roll. And it really, you just want to see some positivity. You just want to see some good stuff from the Grizzlies over the last couple of weeks. And you saw a lot of good stuff tonight. We're going to talk about it here on the podcast. Also want to say a big thank you to our friends at Grizz Essentials. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Remember, the promo code BELIEVE gets you a free month. Oh, baby. How good is that? GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Why not celebrate a big Grizzly win over the Bulls with a box of magic? And I say it's magic because really you don't know what's inside. Kind of like a magic trick. You don't know. You don't exactly know how it's done. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. They do it really well. Go and check out the website right now, Locked On Grizzlies exclusive. Go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. You support the podcast. You help Mark and Courtney know where you're coming from. And if you use that promo code, BELIEVE, you're going to help yourself with a free month of service. Big thank you to our friends at Grizz Essentials. So if you're celebrating, kind of a return to form for the Grizzlies, but a return to old school Grizzly style. And I thought some things to really highlight. First of all, really to get too much more complex is irrelevant, because when Mark and Mike are as good as they were, then the other stuff is kind of pointless. They go 18 of 33 combined for 54 points between the two of them, 8 of 14 from three, 15 rebounds, 14 assists between them, 27, 9, and 7 for Mike, 27, 6, and 7 for Mark. There you go. Game, set, match. I would find it hard to believe the Grizzlies have lost too many games, and I have not looked this up. Nor do I particularly want to right now. So my apologies. But I would find it hard to believe the Grizzlies have lost very many games when Mark and Mike have combined for 50 points. Or more. I would say that was probably non-existent, I would guess, that happened. But to be honest with you, I mean, this was a good effort, more or less, from the get-go. The defense really tightened up in the second half, I'll say that. But this looked very much like a Grizzly game. And as the game wore on, the Bulls wore down, and they weren't able to do a whole lot offensively. They shot just 26% over the last 8 minutes and 45 seconds of the game. That very much sounds like the Grizzlies of old. That's exactly what you expect from those teams. They held Jimmy Butler was 4 of 16 from the field and got the bulk of his 14 points from the free throw line. It was, just a really good defensive performance all the way around. And Rajon Rondo, ends up being the best shooter of the night, really, for the Bulls, and that's you can certainly live with that. You will not see him shoot 3 of 4 from 3-point line very often, but those are the things that you have to live with. The Bulls, really had a couple of moments there as the third quarter drew to a close. They had that little lineup with Mirotić and Denzel Valentine that caused the Grizzlies a little bit of trouble. And both those guys were pretty good off the bench. But as time wore on, it just kind of faded out. Bobby Portis was, what's happened to Bobby Portis? Everyone raved about Bobby Portis for a long time. It has, like many things with the Bulls, it has kind of faded. Michael Carter Williams, also side note here, is probably my least favorite player in the league at the moment. I did a podcast interview with Chase Lucas over at Grizzly Bear Blues, his You Like Hoops podcast, and I wish I'd thought of it. I forgot about him. He asked me who my least favorite player was. Michael Carter Williams is way up there on that list. Way, 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 way up there on that list. I am glad I don't have to cover him on a regular basis. Just nothing about his game do I like. Nothing about his game do I find appealing whatsoever. So, yeah, the Bulls, they struggled for big chunks of this game. And that was due in large part to the Grizzlies. And I have to give the Grizzlies, you give them credit for solidity. It makes you kind of notice, and it really brings to the fore how not together they were just a week and a half, a week or so ago. It really makes it crystal clear when you see them over the last two ball games do what they've done. It's obvious. So you have to, on the one hand, you praise them for what they've done. On the other hand, you sort of cringe at how bad it got so quickly and how mental all of that stuff, really was. Because that's all it was. It was mental. As teams got, they're going to have to at some point, and I'm writing a piece about this, a very long piece. I have no idea how they're going to format this thing, but I am told that they're letting me roll with it. But I've got a piece coming out that helps to explain some of the critical issues, two big critical issues facing the Grizzlies right now, and it should be out at some point today on the Commercial Appeal website and potentially in print. I don't know how that's going to work exactly, but it will be out today at some point, I think. They may even have to split it into two parts. It is, no joke, about 3,700 words, I think, in that neighborhood. That's far and away the longest thing I've ever written, but I really delved into it. The two issues that I focused on being Chandler Parsons and the impact that his inability to play had on the Grizzlies and their style. And then the second one, and what I think is probably the most important one overall, is the rift in style and style of leadership between Marc Gasol and David Fizdale. So those two things are critical for the Grizzlies to resolve in the future. This is more of a long-term looking piece, because in the short term, it was a return to form for the Grizzlies and a return to kind of, a lot of the rudiments of grit and grind. And for now, that's fine. They just need to get wins and need to stabilize this team. I'm speaking here when I talk about that, and when I write about that, I'm writing about longer term issues, things that are going to come up soon enough for the Grizzlies in the next, month and a half or whenever it is that their playoff run, comes to an end. But this also shows the Chandler Parsons effect. I mean, it's just, people can scoff, and there was some disagreement on my radio show about this. There was some disagreement on Twitter about this. There's some disagreement on this podcast from some of you listening and getting back to me. Not disagreement on this podcast, because I'm really talking to myself. So if I'm going to argue with myself, then I'm even crazier than I thought. But there was some disagreement about whether the performance on Monday could be attributed largely to the Chandler Parsons situation having been resolved. And my contention was always, that was a huge part of it. It was a cathartic thing. It's turning the page. It's finding some finality. It's doing everything that you can do, and now knowing that you don't have to do it with a guy that just isn't good enough. I likened it to when you're playing golf, and those of you that play golf, you have four-man scramble. If you don't play golf, then what it is, you have four people, and, you know, you each hit a shot, and the best shot, you go and hit your second shot from wherever the best drive is, and then you all putt from wherever the putt is, and so on. If you're playing and you've got, you know, four good golfers, then everybody contributes a shot, and everybody's playing well, and everybody's, you know, kind of on the same page. It's a lot of fun. If you've got three guys that are good and one guy that's horrible, then it becomes a little more of a problem for you. And if that fourth guy has to play, then it's even worse. It was like if your boss was the fourth guy. Like you're playing a work thing and your boss is the fourth guy and he sucks and everyone knows he sucks. But you have to kind of keep trying to make it work with him because he's the boss, right? I mean, what you can't just not play with him. And then if he were to leave halfway through or two-thirds of the way through your round because he had to be called away for work or whatever it is, and you get to finish with somebody else who's much better, an old buddy that you've known for a while, you're going to feel great. You're going to feel like a weight was lifted. You're going to feel on cloud nine just because you don't have to carry around dead weight anymore. And that's, I think, what the Grizzlies feel with Chandler Parsons. It's not so much that Parsons, it's not a knock on him personally. It's not a knock on him even professionally. I think he did everything that he could do. It's not his fault. None of that's his fault, but you remove him from the equation and all of a sudden, boom, here you go. Grizzlies are flying high. That's just the nature of it. You've got that impediment that's been removed and now you're ready to go. And the Grizzlies, again, here's an example. You know, they allowed the Bulls to shoot just 36% from inside the arc tonight, which is the lowest two-point percentage they've allowed in over 3 months, since December 8th, to be exact, against Portland. And that was the lowest of the season. So this is the second lowest total of the season inside the arc. And the Grizzlies' interior defense of late has been absolutely shredded prior to this, okay? So let's go back all the way for the last month. Okay, this goes to the Golden State game on February 10th, right before the All-Star break. We'll start there. Here's what the Grizzlies have allowed in the games, the 12 games that were that from that point on. 55%. This is all inside the arc. 55%, 58%, 51%, 56%, 52%, 58%, 62%, 58%, 58%, 60%, 50%. Then came Monday, Chandler Parsons' announcement, 42% against Milwaukee, and then 36% tonight. Now, is that a coincidence? No, it's not. And I think you'll see that probably for the rest of the year. You know, it doesn't mean that the Grizzlies are going to win every game, or it doesn't even really necessarily change the trajectory of what they would do in the postseason. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it's much more like the Grizzlies you expect to see. And it's indicative of the effort and the communication that they have on the defensive end, that they're able to stop drives, they're able to stop interior finishes, that they're able to be much more of a protecting team when it comes to the rim. That stuff comes from teamwork and communication, five guys working together. That can happen now when you take the impediment away and you take the rotations and make them much more normalized. And that's what's happened for the Grizzlies, and it's no surprise that it's led to what we've seen. So it's, you know, there will be plenty of time after the season's over for the recriminations and the discussions about who did what and who knew what and all that stuff. And as I said, I'm writing, and it'll be out there today, a forward-looking piece, you know, kind of a big picture sort of piece about the way things have gone. But for now, at least, and just in terms of this podcast, talking about what happened last night, it was just a relief to see the Grizzlies get back to the Grizzlies. And I thought another stat that was interesting is they only allowed, or they only forced five turnovers from Chicago. Chicago did not turn the ball over much at all. And yet the Grizzlies played really solid defense. And that tells you, again, the gambling that was present for a lot of what we saw with the Grizzlies, and they would force turnovers, but that would also then kind of mask or attempt to mask what wasn't really very good fundamental defense. Well, that's now changed. They didn't go for a ton of turnovers. They didn't really try to do that. The game didn't lend itself to that, and they didn't force it. And as a result, they just played really solid individual defense, and that's huge. That's huge for them. It's huge that they can do that. It was interesting to see the rotations the way they played out, and the fact that there was time for Troy Daniels and James Ennis. When you take Chandler Parsons out of the mix, then you have time for both those guys. I don't know that either one was particularly good, but you're seeing that now as part of this rotation. Andrew Harrison did not play much and did not play well with 4 fouls in his 11 minutes and a minus 10. He's been a little bit better of late, but this was a bit of a step back for him. Zach Randolph was kind of just okay. Couldn't really finish tonight inside the restricted area, even though he was a monster again on the glass, on the offensive glass, with 4 offensive rebounds. And then Brandon Wright, I think Fizdale's biggest challenge now rotation-wise, now that you take Chandler Parsons out of the mix, who is the biggest challenge for sure, I think his next biggest challenge is what to do with the bigs. And Brandon Wright in particular, how do you take Marc Gasol, who has to play and play a lot, Jamichael Green, who is your starting 4 and who provides defensive versatility that no one else really can, even if he doesn't shoot as much or provide you as much on the offensive end. You take Gasol, Jamichael Green, and then off the bench, Zebo's got to play. You know about Zebo. And then Brandon Wright, so he's your 4th big in this situation, but it feels like tonight, or last night, excuse me, he only played 10 minutes, 40 seconds. It doesn't feel like that's enough for Brandon Wright. It doesn't feel like that's enough for a guy that brings what he brings to the table. So how will Fizdale fit those guys in? How will Fizdale make that situation work? That is an interesting question and one for the future. I think we'll have to kind of wait and see, but I do think that's a good problem in one sense to have, because it means you've got effective depth there. But also considering the fact that you're going to see some lineups probably depending on game and situation where Vince Carter will play the 4 in the role that Chandler Parsons was going to play, you'll see Vince play some of that 4 as well. So if you see that, then that takes even more minutes away from a guy like Brandon Wright. So how he can get 15, 20 minutes for Brandon Wright will be a big challenge for Fizdale. But long story short, good news all the way around. Grizzlies knock off the Bulls 98-91 and continue to play pretty darn well over the last 96 minutes of basketball after playing horribly in the previous, 240 minutes? So they are playing better. Long way to go. Tomorrow night, fascinating challenge against Atlanta, the team that really gave them their low point on Saturday, a team that shot 50% against the Grizzlies, both from 3 and from 2, team that was racking up ridiculous numbers in the third quarter against the Grizzlies, a team against whom the Grizzlies just went absolutely stone cold from the 3-point line, and a team that the Grizzlies just didn't defend very well against at all. How will that change? We'll find out. Should be a lot of fun, and I think finally you're going to see. I think this will be the best way to kind of tell exactly what the difference is. This will be the most direct comparison because hell, it won't even have been a week. So the Grizzlies will be able to give you a good sense of exactly where they stand and what they're going to be able to do against a team like Atlanta that they played and played earlier. And I think it would also be a bonus for them if Dwight Howard plays in this game. He was rested in the game last Saturday, and that was a negative. Marc Gasol tends to play really well against Dwight Howard, doesn't really like Dwight Howard all that much, I don't think. And, you know, he tends to kind of bump his game up playing against Howard. And, you know, Howard also takes away some of that movement and mobility from Atlanta's offense, takes away a guy that can go out and space the floor, really plays into Memphis's hands in many respects. So if Howard plays, and I assume he will, then I think that's a real bonus for the Grizzlies, and they have a much better chance of winning that ballgame. We'll see. We'll see. But it's just nice to have the old Grizzlies back, if only for a few games here and there. This looked like, this felt like, this was the Grizzly basketball that fans have come to know and appreciate and love over the last 6-7 years. It may well be the last hurrah and the last run of grit and grind. So I would say enjoy that while you can, because I don't know how much longer it's going to be in this world. But for now, amen. Kick back and enjoy, and it's a heck of a lot better than what the Grizzlies have shown over the last few weeks. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. As I mentioned, tomorrow we'll talk about that Atlanta matchup, and we'll kind of give you a sense of where the Grizzlies are going into a big weekend, where you'll see the Spurs and you'll see Wrestling Night. Wrestling Night! Come on, man. My favorite night of the year. Super duper excited about that. And boy, I can't wait to see it. So that's going to come up on Saturday night in FedEx Forum, 8 o'clock tip-off for the Spurs and the Grizzlies. But got that Hawks game tomorrow. We'll talk about it on the podcast. Thanks again to everybody for downloading, for listening. Please, if you can, I know it's tricky. People ask you to do this stuff all the time. I understand. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I very rarely do it myself. So I know it's tricky, but I would really appreciate, I have a new appreciation for it, having, you know, been on this side of the podcast now. I would really like it. It would be great if you could fire off a review for me, and just hopefully a good one. 5 stars would be great, and that would just be awesome. And, you know, you just don't know what it means and how much it helps the podcast grow. So thanks in advance for those of you that have already done it, and those of you that can do it, that would be terrific. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow when you continue to be Locked On Grizzlies.